The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about rules of life in Islam. So be with us. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Thursday, 24th of Zulhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to one verse from the Holy Quran,
Verse 53, chapter Esra.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا.
And tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, Satan induces dissension among them. Indeed, Satan is ever, to mankind, a clear enemy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
As the discussion in the foregoing verses centered around the issues of the origin and the resurrection and the proofs regarding these two main ideological beliefs, here the Quran instructs the manner of conducting a dialogue and disputation with the dissident, especially the pagans. For no matter how elevated in rank the school might be, the powerful logic will also be rendered useless. But if it is not coupled with correct methods, discussion and disputation, and instead of affection and favor, harshness and rudeness prevail, it will be fruitless.
Have come from one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day show the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
We're going to speak about rules of life in Islam. Islam is the complete code of life, and it gives details and mentions about each and every aspect of life. Therefore, by following the instructions of Islam, one can live the worldly life in the best manner. However, there are others who think that following the principles of life alienates them and takes them away from this world and hinders in their way of achieving success in this life. Such a conception about Islam is wrong, and it has nothing to do with real message of Islam. Islam encourages its followers to live this worldly life in the best manner and is against abstinence. The first and foremost important things that can help a believer live the life in an Islamic way and achieving success through it is believing in Allah. When the belief of a Muslim increases in Allah Almighty, and he or she realizes the fact that Allah Almighty is the sole provider, he is the supreme, and everything comes from him, then the belief of the believer becomes strong, and out of this belief, whatever activity he or she undertakes, it comes with conviction. And when something is done with conviction, the chances of success increase naturally.
Hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi states, looking at the face of your parents with rahmah, with love, has the reward of hajj. This brings you divine tawfiq. One brother says, one day I was exhausted. I had a very long day. I worked very hard. I went home. I just wanted to go to my room and sleep. He says, when I arrived at my house, he used to live with his parents. He says, I realized my father was coughing. He was in pain. So I was about to sleep. I said to myself, should I get up and make him some medication to relieve him? He says, I had this, you know, tug of war with my nafs. He says, eventually, I got up. It was very difficult for me. You know, sometimes when you're tired, you just shut down. That's it. He was at that level. He says, I got up. I went into the kitchen. I spent a few moments with difficulty. I'm dizzy. But I made some medication for my father. Something to soothe his coughs. I went into his room. I gave it to him. He drank it. He was relieved. He did a dua for me. He says, I was dead tired. But when I was going into my room, suddenly in my heart, I felt this spiritual energy, this shauq for Salat al-Layl, this eagerness to pray Salat al-Layl. He says, I got up. I prayed the Salah with so much sweetness. I really enjoyed my Salah that night. He says, after that night, for 20 years, not a single night did I skip Salat al-Layl. Because of what? One simple factor. One simple factor, right? 5 minutes he sacrificed. He served his father. He brought joy to his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this type of tawfiq. If you want tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the golden keys is your parents. Now for those of you whose parents have passed away, they need you more after they pass away than they're alive. The hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi states, there are some people who are bar biwaliday. They're good to their parents. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect them as aq, as undutiful. On the day of judgment, they say, Ya Allah, you are a witness. We were good to our parents when they were alive. Allah says, yes, but when they died, you forgot about them. I consider you aq because your parents needed you. They needed your good deeds to pray on their behalf, to give charity on their behalf, to read Quran on their behalf. Don't forget about them. Every single day, don't forget about them. They have a right over you. This gives you tawfiq in your life. So the first factor is serving your parents with love, with compassion. Feel honored. Feel honored. Allah is giving you the universe for these moments. It's worth it.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
From the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad on rules of success. Plan and prepare while exercising restraint. Never act in haste and without being prepared with a long-range strategic plan, specific goals, the resources to execute the plan, most important of which are qualified and trained dedicated teams. The consideration that should be uppermost in the believer's mind is what serves the interests of Allah and Islam, not his own personal interests, and settling one's accounts by force. The Prophet, who endured all kind of personal losses in his life, endured knew that the continuation of efforts to spread the faith and of serving Allah and the Muslim success in this life and the next lay in their pressing on with the missionary work. It is important to know that when one has a purpose in life, that purpose assumes overriding importance. With the absence of such purpose, one becomes preoccupied with every trivial matter.
I only knew love. When I knew love of thee, I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see my heart's inner secrets, but thou I don't see.
Relying on Allah in our daily lives on today's special, How to Be Mindful of Allah. The fruit of mindfulness, aside from the reward of eternal paradise in the hereafter, is a state of tranquil calm leading to contentment in this life. The means leading to stillness are produced by the servant's accusation of mindfulness of his Lord. Glorious and exalted is he, to the point that it is as if he can see him. All positive spiritual and mental states derives from it, for mindfulness is the foundation of all deeds of the heart. Mindfulness is actually the fulfillment of worshipping Allah according to a proper understanding of the beautiful names that convey His perfect knowledge.
We live in a time where people don't know how to engage in tafakkur anymore. Have you seen people? The moment they wake up, they have to look at their phone. They fall asleep on social media. If their phone is missing even for a few seconds, they panic. They're so obsessed with these devices that they're missing out on Allah's ayat. They don't have time to just think, turn it off. Dedicate at least 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day. Put everything away and just breathe. Think. Allah in the Quran, when He describes the believers, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They contemplate over Allah's creation. Some of us are so obsessed with our phones that we have never looked up and looked up at the stars. The ayat of Allah are more mesmerizing than your phone. We are so disconnected from Allah's creation. Think about the beauty of His creation. You think the 99 names of Allah are only written on your wall? The 99 names of Allah are scattered through the universe. You have to look. You have to engage in tafakkur. Rasulullah, in order to develop his own soul, he had to go to the cave of Hira. You think you're going to get somewhere without disconnecting from dunya? Even Rasulullah had to disconnect. He had a habit of meditation in the cave of Hira.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today. And inshallah, of course, we meet you soon in another episode of today's special. So we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to all on the occasion of Mubahala, the day on which Islam triumphed in a memorable debate with the Christians, when, as commanded by God, the Holy Prophet took his immediate family, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, that is, his daughter Hazrat Fatima Zahra, son-in-law Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and grandsons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them, to the appointed place, to prove that Jesus was a prophet and not the Son of God, as alleged by Christians, since God is too glorious to have such human attributes as the need for a son, wife, or children. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Ark of Noah. Whoever boards it is safe, and whoever stays behind is drowned. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. As you know, today marks the anniversary of a very important event which occurred in the history of Islam. In many Muslim countries, this day is considered an Eid or a holiday. They call it Eid Mubahila, like in some South Asian countries, India, Pakistan, other places. This is considered an Eid. In a lot of countries, no, they don't consider it as an Eid particularly. But it's considered, nevertheless, a very significant and a very important event. And that is the event of Mubahila. This is something which has been alluded to in the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, we read the following. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Should anyone argue with you concerning him after the knowledge that has come to you, say, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, our souls and your souls. Then let us pray earnestly and call down Allah's curse upon the liars. Really briefly, the story of this event is that a group of Christians came to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, you know, they argued with the Holy Prophet. The Prophet, he tried to convince them about the truth of his prophethood and Islam. And, you know, he answered their questions and he resolved the problems that they were having with accepting his prophethood. But they were obstinate and they didn't accept. And so they came to an agreement to do a mubahila, which was that they would come together in a certain place and invoke God's curse upon one another. And God Almighty, He told the Holy Prophet to, you know, to call his, bring his family with him. Let's look at this beautiful hadith and see what exactly transpired on this day in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, when the Christians of Najran came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, their chiefs were Al-Ahtam, Al-Aqib, and As-Sayyid. They asked, to what do you call us? He sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam said, to bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah, and that Jesus was a created servant who ate, drank water, and relieved himself. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, after, you know, they didn't accept and, you know, they were obstinate, the Prophet said, then invoke Allah's curse upon me. If I am telling the truth, the curse will descend upon yourselves, and if not, then it will descend upon me. They said, you have spoken fairly. Then they made an appointment for the challenge. When they returned to their homes, their chiefs told them, if he comes to invoke a curse upon us, with his people we will accept the challenge, because he would not be a prophet. But if he challenges us with his close family, we must not accept, for he would not risk his own family unless he was truthful. When the morning arrived, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and he was accompanied by the commander of the faithful, Fatima, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn alayhim salam. They got scared and said to the Prophet, we will give you what you want, so spare us this mutual invocation of curse. Meaning they came to an agreement that they would pay the jizya, the religious tax to be that is implemented on non-Muslims in Muslim countries, but they wouldn't participate in the mubahila. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a truce with them that they pay the tax and that they went back, meaning they went away and went back and they didn't come back again. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the event of Mubahila in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 74 of Surah An-Nisa on page
89.
Brothers and sisters, the same as our brothers here, Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, they have opened their Quran, looking at the Quran. The same as them, please open your Quran, look at the Quran, Ayah 74 of Surah An-Nisa on page 89. Let's everybody listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما.
Very good recitation, mashallah. Lovely is the reciter. So I will just read once. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, okay? A very short explanation, then quickly we'll jump to the practical tajweed rules. Fine?
Yes.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Almighty says in this ayah, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يَشْرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُقْتَلْ أَوْ يَغْلِبْ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. So, what does Allah Almighty say? Allah Almighty says, let those fight in the way of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. And whoever fights in the way of Allah and then is slain, okay, or he subdues the enemy, okay, soon we shall give him a great reward. Sometimes, look, it talks about the jihad. Like, jihad is one of the furu'uddin, right? And the sixth furu'uddin. Salat, sawm, hajj, zakat, khums, jihad, amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. So this furu'uddin, the branches of the religion. So the practical part of our religion. Okay, these are the most important ones. Now, jihad basically means fighting or struggling in the way of Allah Almighty. All right, we have like other types of jihad as well. Like you go and study, struggle in the way of Allah, study the religious teachings. Okay, like you're doing, you learn and then you spread the knowledge, the message of Islam. This is also jihad. So for us, okay, students like you and me, the best jihad for us is now to study and learn, then spread the knowledge, the message of Islam. That's the best jihad for us, okay? And whoever dies in this way, passes away, okay, he will be counted as shaheed. He will get the reward of shaheed. Not the shaheed who is martyred in the battlefield, okay, with the imam. No, but he will get the reward of shaheed, inshallah, okay? In the Jannah, he will have a high position. Okay, so there are a lot of things about shaheed. Let's get back to the topic. Allah Almighty says, فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Let those fight in the way of Allah. So this is not easy to fight in the way of Allah. This is not easy to sacrifice yourself for someone. Okay, it needs what? What does it need? It needs you to have a strong faith. Iman. It needs you to have a strong belief in Islam, in Allah Almighty. It needs you to strongly believe that the day of judgment exists. That you will be rewarded. Yeah? Right? So that's why the shuhada that we have during the history, in the history of Islam, and also in the history of Islamic Republic of Iran, okay? So they had this understanding. First point. Second point. Don't think that Allah Almighty does not reward you. No. He is going to reward you. Allah Almighty says, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Not a simple reward. أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. عَظِيم, let's look at Allah Almighty. How عَظِيم, how great He Himself is. Okay? He'll get the reward. In the greatness of Himself. Okay? In that size. So, these points we mentioned, they are enough. So we'll move on to the tajweed rules. But our brothers and sisters must know that, inshallah, for details, for more information, the complete information, inshallah, go and learn from the tafsir books.
Allah Ta'ala ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
فواد حسن حسين علي ناصر. I hope you've learned something, our brothers and sisters. Any questions in this part?
No.
Nothing? Hassan?
No, sir.
No questions? All right. Let's move on to our tajweed rules, the practical ones. We'll mention, inshallah, some of them. The very first important point is actually the heavy letters and light letters we have to know, okay? There are 8 letters which are pronounced heavily with an ah sound. Ah. This ah sound is called heavy sound. This ah sound is called light sound. So the letters which we will mention, and we will say that they are heavily pronounced, you must pronounce them with an ah sound or ah sound.
Ah
sound. Ah sound. Like what? The letter. Uh-huh, Fawad can name them.
Ta.
Ta.
Qaf.
Qaf. Dha.
Sometimes ra.
Ra, sometimes, yeah. With an alif, it's always, yes? That way. Kha. Uh-huh. Sad. And
Ayn.
Dad. Ghain. Ghain is Ayn, no, Ghain. So, let's say in order. Kha. Ra. Sad. Dad. Ta. Dha. Ghain. Qaf. So, these 8 letters. They are pronounced heavily. So, for example, here, the letter Qaf is there. Whenever they have Fatha or Alif, Mad, ah sound, okay? فَلْيُقَاتِلْ. This, look. قَاتِلْ. You don't read it. فَلْيُقَاتِلْ. So this is a heavy letter. The rest of the letters are pronounced lightly. And if you pronounce them heavily, this becomes a mistake. What for? For example. فَلْيُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. While you don't have to pronounce a lot here this way, yes? Or الذين يشرون الحياة حياتا. If you say حياتا, this changes to a kind of Persian accent, which is not Arabic. First point, important point here. Second point is actually about the rule of stopping. When you stop, you must pay attention to the stopping signs, if you have. Okay? If you have stopping signs. Can you name some of the stopping signs? Huh?
Jim.
Jim. All right. Here we have a Jim, a baby Jim on the top. Okay.
Qila.
Qila. All right.
Sila.
Sila. And next one.
At the end of the verses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the verse ends. Yeah, that's correct. A stopping. That's the station, of course.
Yeah.
Mim. Mim means don't stop. Stop. It means.
Oh, yeah.
Mim means stop. You must stop.
La.
Meme. La means?
Do not stop.
Do not stop. Oh, okay. This kind of stopping signs. Or we got the 3 dots, which is called Waqful Mu'anaqa. This 3 dots, okay? 6 dots, actually. 3-1, 3-1 here.
Yeah.
So, these are the stopping signs. Jim says it's, huh?
Jaiz.
Jaiz, it's okay. You stop or continue. If you're running out of red, stop, stop, stop. Okay? Pump station is here. Pump yourself, okay? Get energy. Take a deep breath. Then continue, okay? Or if you want to go, just with one speed up, okay? Just go. Accelerate. Move on. That's all. Then the next point is here about tajweed rule, tanween and nun sakin. The rules for tanween and nun sakin. وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ changes to وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ. وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ. The noon is merged into the ya as if it's omitted. Okay? The ya is doubled. وَمَنْ يُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُقْتَلْ. So here.
قَلْقَلَ.
قَلْقَلَ. Whenever these 5 letters appear sakin, you must pronounce a bouncing sound or echoing sound. Ali Nasser, could you help us with those letters?
قَاف.
قَاف.
Ta,
ba,
ba,
jim,
jim,
and
dal.
Dal. So these 5 letters, whenever they appear sakin, read them with an echoing sound. Fal, yuqa. Fal yuqa. Yuqa. Do not read it yuqa. No. Yuqa. It's not a vowel sound. A-E-U-no. It's a short one. Like, yeah. It's just a jumping one. Fayuqa. Fayuqa. Tal. Aw yaglib. Yaglib is a heavy letter. The ghain. So you pronounce it heavily. Aw yaglib. Not yaglib. No. Yaglib. Got it? فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما أجرا عظيما. The tanwin plus عين, so changes nothing, yeah? Just read it the way it is. Ready to recite now after me? We've mentioned the tajweed rules. Okay. Brothers and sisters, listen please and repeat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة.
فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة
ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما.
ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope inshallah this session was useful for you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks a bundle. Inshallah. Allah bless you. Inshallah. Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
From our imams, the ninth imam is the first, whose imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barakati.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the 9th divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Messenger of Allah. And His Eminence Imam al-Jawad was also the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. We find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam economized when it came to spending upon himself. He lived a rather ascetic, simple lifestyle. But His Eminence Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam spent a great abundant amount of wealth on the poor and the needy people amongst the Muslims. And it is precisely because of this unequaled and unparalleled generosity that Imam al-Jawad has been called and titled Al-Jawad, the Generous. This surname was the most particular and famous surname of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, to the extent that he was well known and famous for it amongst the people.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are at your service talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the 9th divinely appointed Imam. So, dear friends, we find in the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam this interesting conversation that occurs between Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam and an individual who lives in the land of Iraq. And in this conversation, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam speaks a little bit about those individuals who create and fabricate innovations in the religion. So this innovation in the Arabic is known as a bid'ah, and it is something which was previously not in the religion, but it has been added to the religion. And most of the time, if not always, it is in contradiction to the tenets and the laws of Islam that we have at hand. Now, what's important for us to kind of relate to here is the fact that sometimes involuntarily or subconsciously or unwillingly, we too have a tendency to create certain bid'ahs and certain innovations in the religion. Now, we might not have the, you know, the clout or the power or the influence to be able to, you know, make this bid'ah and this innovation widespread. But at least for ourselves and perhaps for our inner circle, we end up promoting or indirectly teaching this bid'ah and this innovation to other people, and we must be very careful. Islam is the religion that we have based upon the Holy Quran and the seerah and the sunnah, the manners and the behaviors and the lifestyle and the ways of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and of course the infallible, immaculate Imams alayhim as-salam. That is what Islam is. And then in the next level, of course, is the explanation of these two that we have in the present day via the righteous, noble, honorable, selected ulama, scholars of Islam. And so we ourselves do not really have the educational standing or the amount of knowledge or wisdom in order to be able to, you know, make stuff up on ourselves. So talking about, again, Imam al-Jawad in this conversation, we find that when they're speaking, Imam al-Jawad says to the man that, "I have been informed that some people claimed our love, yet fabricated in the religion of Allah.
So this fabricated here, he's talking about the innovation and the bid'ah and making up things in the religion of Allah. What's really interesting is that here Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he talks about one of the attributes that's connected to this other attribute, which is the attribute of creating innovations in the religion and just kind of making things up on our own. Imam al-Jawad says to the man that these people who fabricated in the religion yet claimed to be the lovers and supporters of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they were ungrateful to their blessings. And shaitan occupied them, made them busy, and made these people forget the mention of the Almighty Allah. So here we find that in the conversation, again, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he brings up these two other attributes which result in the fabrication and creating innovations in the religion. One, of course, being that these individuals were ungrateful, they were unthankful. They had the blessings of the Almighty Allah, whether material or spiritual, and yet they never bothered to thank the Almighty Allah for those blessings. And the second thing, and the second attribute that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam mentions in this dialogue, is that shaitan, in one way or the other, made these people forget the mentioning of Allah. So this mentioning of Allah is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, to constantly be in the remembrance of Allah, to constantly remind ourselves of the presence of the Almighty Allah, and to constantly, you know, be saying, or for lack of a better word, these incantations, which I don't like to use that word because it's more prone to magic and these kind of ridiculous things. But constantly being in the remembrance of Allah, whether it is via our tongues, which I, you know, unwillingly called incantation, but via our tongue, we are saying the dhikr of Allah, we're saying subhanallah, we're saying Allahu Akbar, we're saying alhamdulillah. So when you forget to do that, and you forget to mention the Almighty Allah, and you forget to remember the Almighty Allah, and you are ungrateful to the blessings of the Almighty Allah, one of the results of these two things is that one begins to fabricate and make innovations in the religion and starts to believe that these innovations are a part of religion. At the end of the conversation, Imam al-Jawad says, where will the falsifiers go? Meaning, of course, the depths of hell, may Allah forgive us all, is reserved for those who falsify and fabricate in the religion of Allah. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Despite the young age of the ninth holy Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Muhammad Al-Jawad Al-Taqi, alayhi afdal as-salatu was-salam, he rose to excellence and is considered to be one of the individuals that is remembered, honored, and occupies a central position in the remembrance of the family of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon them. Yahya ibn Akhtham is an individual who had many debates with Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Yes, this debate is perhaps not known. Once Yahya said to Imam al-Jawad, and listen to this, he said to him, you have a problem with the khulafa. Yes, you have a problem with so-and-so. He said, what do you mean? He said, we have narrations that said that once Jibra'il descended and said to the Holy Messenger, Rasul al-Akram wa Nabi al-A'zam, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said to him that I want you to go and ask the first Khalifa Abu Bakr, ask him, are you pleased with me or not? So what do you think about this? Imam al-Jawad, look at the answers of the A'imma alayhim as-salam. He says, first of all, Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Yes, that Allah is closer to us than our jugular veins. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah lies between us and our hearts. Why would Allah say to Jibreel, go and ask, yes, the Prophet to ask Fulan if he is pleased with me? It seems a very long-winded process. He said there are many ahadith that have been so-called placed in order to raise the status of others, but they are false.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
The last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the Redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab, and today we have had the pleasure to be with Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Very warm welcome, sir, and it's a pleasure to be with you, dear listeners. Dr. Ali Alavi is a researcher in the field of Wahhabiyyah and a research scholar in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom. And today we are going to discuss some brief questions about Wahhabiyyah with Dr. Alavi. As we discussed in the previous episode, that we make a force to see Imam, and then everyone wishes to see Imam, but that's not enough to wish, but it takes a lot of efforts. And that is to actually, what are we doing with the current Imam that we have in our hands? And that is Quran. How much attracted, or how much actually we are contemplating, how much interest do we take in to read it, to recite it, to contemplate in it, and to apply it in our lives? And similarly, we reached a point that there are some duties that if we perform our duties very well, then there's no need to make much efforts. So, asking you in general, what are the duties of waiters?
We have already actually talked about the duties of the waiters of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at the time of occultation. But this time, we want to actually have this issue from another perspective. Here, actually, unlike the earlier sessions that we actually enumerated some 20 duties for the waiters, we want to focus on three major duties.